morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Empowerment Zone. My name is Reginald McLaughlin. This show is brought to you by My Independence at Home. If you or your loved one are in need of home care, please call 215-776-7413. 215-776-7413. My Independence at Home, again, is a home care agency. We're located at 1 Winding Drive, Suite 101. At My Independence at Home, we're also hiring. If you know anyone who needs a job and want to be a caregiver, 215-776-7413, 215-776-7413, My Independence at Home. Today is going to be an interesting subject here. It's about voting, why you should vote. What is the power of your vote? I mean, in other words, how if you don't vote in this election, you lose power. I think there's judges that are going to be elected. If you have anyone that's in the system that has a criminal record, or if you have someone that look like you behind the bench, chances are you will not be punished as harsh. The criminal system is really curved. We have a lot of African American population. We're not the majority, but we are the majority in the jails. So voting for judges is important. Voting for the governor. The governor, if you do get a Republican governor, chances are they are going to ban abortions in the state. If you get a Republican senator, chances are, if they become the dominant party, chances are you won't get any bills passed. So you got to go out and vote. It's important that you vote, and it's important that you know who you're voting for. We're waiting for the Councilwoman Cindy Bass to come on the air to call in so that she could talk about voting. We're waiting for State Rep Parker and the half hour to call in so she can talk about voting. So voting is very, very important. It's the difference between you're losing your rights or you're keeping your rights or you gain more rights. So therefore, it's important that you vote. And they say black males are least likely to vote, and that should not be. I don't know why. I'm a black male, if you don't know it. But I don't know why black males do not vote in a mass. I don't know. Now, women vote more so than men, and that's a good thing. Follow your wife instead of to follow the women. The women can lead you in the right directions, So that is important that you vote. You can't say, don't ever say my vote does not count. Do not say that, why should I vote? You are the reasons why you're the reasons why some of these people are elected. Now, you had that crazy man that became president is because the crazy man became president because people in this country a lot of people of color, black and brown, did not vote. And that's how he got to be the president, the one-term president, the crooked president, the president that should go to jail, ex-president, should I say, should be going to jail. And the reason why he's not going to jail is whoever his cronies were that we put into office also are trying to keep him out. They want to keep that rhetoric going. They want to keep the rhetoric that the election was stolen. They want to say that January 6th was just a little a protest. It was a peaceful protest. Those guys tried to overthrow the country. Said again, they tried to overthrow the country. They riot. There was no... None of the rioters or insurrection, they said, none of traitors, right? They were committing treason. None of them were hurt. The one person, I know, I do apologize, one person was shot. But the police officers there were trampled on, beat up. And a lot of these people, when you read the newspaper, they're getting probation. They're getting 6 months in jail. I think the highest, I believe, is 4 years in jail. But think about it. When there's riots, people of color, you see all kinds of things. Or if a police officer were to die during the course or get murdered during the course of a crime, everyone would be charged. All these people here that were in that riot, that were and they were trying to overthrow the government, they all should be charged with murder. I don't understand that. But you're voting the right people into office. This will not happen. The people that have your interests in mind, because that's what they're doing. They're voting for people that have their interest in mind and not yours. They're voting for people to take away your rights. Who the heck are they to tell a woman, "Hi there, you can't have an abortion. It's murder." What right do they have to take your body and tell you what to do with your body? What man has any right to tell you a woman what to do with her body? And if you want to sit back and you want to say, "Well, I'm not going to vote because my vote don't count," think about your daughter. Think about your mother. Think about if somebody's raped. You have a woman that's raped. She's got to keep that child. If the child is a stillborn, they got to go through the full course of labor to let that child come out. If they go in and they give an abortion, they can lock the doctors up. What kind of country do you think this is? If you put that Republican Party in charge, what kind of country do you think we'll have? Pretty much, they might bring back slavery. Yes. Some type of indentured slavery. Or if you go to prison, they're going to make you work in prison. And think about it. If the African-Americans in this country is not a small minority, but it's a minority. And the majority of people that fill in these jails are people of color, brown and black. And if you go out there and you start voting for people that you are voting for people that do not have your best interests, that's what's going to happen. You know what? I want to talk about this fool they call Herschel Walker. I mean, he should be on the plantation. He is a fool of all fools of all fools. And you know what? The Republican Party is backing him. The Republican Party is backing him, saying he should be in the Senate or whatever Congress. You got to be stuck on stupid if you vote for him. That man looks dumb. He looks like, if you look at him, he looks like he's been hit too many times. Like little brain dead. I didn't give my girlfriend money for an abortion. His children don't even like him. His children does not like him. And you know what? That is in Georgia. Is that Georgia, Lisa? Herschel Walker? He's in Georgia. In Georgia. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to The Empowerment Zone. My name is Reggie McGlone.
This is Lisa Robinson, founder and CEO.
They can't hear you. There you go. Lisa Robinson,
founder and CEO of My Independence at Home.
And if you and your loved one are in need of home care, 215. I can't even get the number out.
215-921-2277.
We have on the line City Councilwoman Cindy Bass.
My favorite councilwoman.
Welcome to the
Empowerment. Oh, you're so sweet. Thank you so much. Thank you. My apologies. I'm running a little bit behind schedule. I'm a little bit under the weather, but I would not miss having an opportunity to connect with you guys. So my favorite radio show. Oh, well, thank you. I'm sure I will. Thank you so much for having me. And, I'm just always, always excited to be with you guys.
Thank you. So, Councilwoman, tell us about voting. What are your thoughts on voting, on how important it is to vote?
Well, you know, it's critically important to vote. And listen, I tell people all the time, you know, if you don't vote, you don't count. You know, you have to register your vote to be able to make a difference, to be able to make a dent in what's happening in our communities. And every election, we always say, you know, this is the most important election of your lifetime. But the reality is that it is, because every single election, the stakes are getting higher and higher. It's building upon what has happened in the last election before that, and all the things that are happening in society. So it really does require us to take each and every election very, very seriously. I know, listen, I feel very, very strongly that voting is something that we have to do, and I'm going to tell you why. There's a house, I'm not going to say where, it's a part of North Philadelphia. There's a house that I rode by a few months ago, and it was a house and it needed a lot of work. It looked like, it wasn't in great condition. but in the window they had a Biden-Harris sign.
Okay.
And so, you know, these are folks from our communities who are buying, you know, what we're offering. You know, the Democratic Party, the principles, the values, mm-hmm. you know, all of the things that we're offering in terms of, you know, economic programs for folks. These are things that are very, very important to our constituencies and places Republicans don't go. You know, they right. don't go into North Philly like mm-hmm. we do. They don't go into West Philly like we do. They don't go into the neighborhoods where we are. And so, you know, the folks in our communities are really, you know, depending on us.
Right.
It's more than just putting up a sign. Like, whoever put that sign up has faith and is depending on us. And so, you know, when I say to you know, folks who are running, if you're going to get in here and make a difference, then I'm all for you. If you are just about titles, if this is a stepping stone, if this is something that you just want to do just because it sounds like, you know, oh, you get a steady paycheck and, you know, oh, you know, it looks good and looks like fun. No, you have people's lives in your hands, and we need people to step up who are really, really serious about making change, because the reality is this. A lot of our people, and when I say our people, I mean primarily Black and brown people.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of our people are born into poverty. And unless we do something as electeds to disrupt that, they are going to die in poverty. If we don't change the trajectory of their lives, it will not change. And so we have the ability to do it. It is incumbent upon us to do it. And so that's why voting matters. Voting for the right person matters. Voting within, you know, I don't want to say the right party, but I am going to say that you have to look overall at, you know, what the Democratic Party has done versus the Republican Party.
Right.
And I think that they are miles apart. They mm-hmm. are miles apart.
Yeah, they
definitely have to do your
offer.
Homework. And I think people mm-hmm. lose sight of the importance of local elections.
Yeah.
They don't think they're important, and they are very important. They only worry about the presidential elections, maybe midterms, but these local elections are extremely important.
And I think that they should send the Wizard of Oz back to New Jersey, put him in a hot balloon, and let him go
yeah.
back to Jersey.
Yeah.
That would be a great campaign.
Jersey, Florida, Turkey, wherever he wants.
Wherever, yes. And he only moved into Philadelphia, Philadelphia or Pennsylvania just to vote. I mean, to become yeah. a senator.
Mm-hmm. Just to run.
He
came out of nowhere, though. That was very
yeah.
odd.
Yeah, that really bothers me because it just shows your lack of commitment to the mm-hmm. place that you say you want to represent.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't care. You weren't here before. You weren't on
right.
the ground.
Right.
You know, you weren't out here, you know, trying to make things happen and trying to, you know, connect with people and seeing what the need is. You just showed up 5 minutes ago because there was a vacancy.
Exactly.
You know, there was a help wanted sign and you applied. Like, that's what it was.
It's just an example of you know? What you said, to make sure if you're going to run for office that you're doing it for the right reason.
That's right.
That
you
you're really committed.
Right
yeah, that you're really committed to making change.
Right, right.
And he was endorsed by the crooked president. The
man
that should be going to jail was endorsing him. And I you know what, I listen to other radio talk shows, and you know there's some Black people that really think that he's going to make a change.
Who?
They think that the Wizard yeah. of Oz is going to make a change for the better for people of color. Can you believe that?
I don't know.
Well, you know, there's always been some of us. Listen, when we arrived on slave ships, we didn't get there on our own,
mm-hmm.
and we know this.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, like, listen, there have been some people for quite some time who have been, you know, not operating in the collective best interest of those who are Black and brown. And listen, we have a Supreme Court justice who seems to, you know, it's just his actions, Judge Clarence Thomas, you know, they just baffle me. I do not understand how he could be so mm-hmm. against programs and things that are done in this country that benefit people of color, when he himself has been a beneficiary
Absolutely.
Of these same programs and entitlements. And now you've made your way, and to heck with everybody else. There's something really wrong with that thinking. You know, there's a screw loose there. My it's screw loose.
I agree with you.
So tell me, is there anything exciting going on in City Hall?
Well, there's always exciting things happening at City Hall. I think one of the most exciting is that we're back in session in person. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so I want to invite folks to come on down, participate. We're there every Thursday morning, 10 a.m. And we want to hear what you have to say. We want you to come be a part of public comment, you know, say what it is that you have to say that's related to bills that are up for final passage. You have every right to speak out on those bills and topics that are related to them. So we will really, you know, need to be more engaged, I think, you know, as a people. Beyond that, there's, you know, like just so much happening within individual offices. You know, we've been working on a number of different issues, including SEPTA, safety issues around SEPTA. And what are we going to do about that? A lot of concerns there. A lot of concerns about the rebuild program. As you may remember from earlier in the spring, the program we found out was very much unequally distributed in terms of who got what. I believe it was based on, you know, political things and the political relationships, which is absolutely inappropriate. You know, if the mayor likes you, then you got it. If he doesn't like you, then you didn't get. And that's not the way this is supposed to work here with taxpayer funded dollars for our recreation centers and libraries and parks. So, you know, we held them, called them on the carpet on that and are going to continue to do so, you know, on that matter. And, you know, a few other things that we have in the hopper that we've been working on. We have a consumer protection bill that we're going to start talking about very, very soon. I don't want to give too much detail on it, but I think it's going to be something that's going to be very much welcome. And we've seen some abuses in government in terms of things that are requested or required from its citizenry and, you know, how far back they can go and say, oh, you owe me money from, you know, 1974. Unless you produce a copy of a canceled check, mm-hmm. you have to pay me. Yeah, no. Okay, no. Nobody's got a check from 1974. So, you know, like these are the kind of things that we've been working on and are going to continue to do so. You know, for us, it's really about quality of life in the city of Philadelphia and in the 8th District. And as we know right now, there's a lot of things that are of great concern to us. Mm-hmm. You know, the city does not feel safe.
Right.
You know, listen, I talked to Commissioner Outlaw, mm-hmm. you know, very, very often. I know she's working hard. I know she's very engaged. But she's, you know, the commissioner's appointed. She's appointed by the mayor, where you have, you know, in my opinion, a mayor who seems to have completely checked out
yes.
of all operations in the city of Philadelphia. We are in a free fall and we need his help and guidance. So, you know, I'm not giving up on him and I'm not giving up on the city. And I'm going to continue to try to advocate and ask, you know, the mayor to reengage with us and trying to do something around all of the gun violence that we have
Absolutely.
Here in the city of Philadelphia.
He should. Yeah. He's not gone yet.
No.
Sir, you're still there.
He's not gone. He's still here.
Yes.
He's still here in title, and we expect service from him.
And those who voted for him have expectations that he, you know, he has to fulfill his term. Like, that's crazy.
Now, what are your, is there anything, Councilwoman Bass, is there anything the city is doing or city council is doing to curb the murder rate? I had someone today, they said a 63-year-old man in Mount Airy was shot today or died today.
I didn't hear about that.
You know, they're coming so fast and furious that, you know, you can't seem to absorb the details mm-hmm. of one shocking event
before there's another
one. Another shocking event happens. And, you know, the city just, like I said, we need some help. You know, it feels out of control. You know,
it's scary. It's scary in the city now.
It's very scary.
It's scarier than it was last year.
It's much scarier. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and the other thing about it is I really feel badly for a lot of our young people when I see them in the neighborhoods. First of all, I really want to, you know, just yell at them, run, go home. like,
yes.
go in the house, get in the house.
But
get in the house. But beyond that, you know, they're not going to have you know, the experience I had in Philadelphia and that many others, you know, of my generation had growing up in the city where we would get up on Saturday mornings, hop on the sub, hop on the bus, go down to the gallery, hang out all day. You know, I have friends in West Philly. I lived in North Philly. I would hop on, you know, the sub and hop on the L and go visit them. And, you know, like we just had so many great experiences, got to learn the city. And, you know, like nowadays, you just can't do that. And it's I feel very badly for them. You know, and the other thing is there's a piece of childhood that's innocence that's really lost among our young people. Anytime, you know, 13-year-old and 14-year-old victims are being shot by other young people, people in the same age range, it's hard to comprehend. It's hard to even take it in and get a real understanding about what is really happening and why is this happening. And
why
how
is it happening?
You know, we first started talking about our program. What do you do when a shooter lives with you? Remember, we first talked about it on this program. It was, you know, the first conversation that we had about it, and we're continuing to have those conversations. We have, I believe, meetings set up next week with some of the deputy commissioners in the police department around how are we going to be addressing those kinds of things. Because one of the things that I've noticed, and this is no shade on the district attorney's office, but it's fact, you know, and you just got to call out the facts as you may, is that it seems as if a lot of the people who are being arrested, whether it's from the Roxborough shooting or from other shootings, have been arrested before and let go
and
let off the hook or given a slap on the wrist. And so, you know, this has escalated. You know, we've allowed this escalation to happen where someone was arrested. You know, they get for something. I think one of the young men who was arrested in the Roxborough killing was involved in the death of an unborn infant, pregnant. Well, he ran into a pregnant woman.
Oh, wow.
Speeding, drag racing on Broad Street, I think, and was given a slap on the wrist for that. And, you know, we've really got to do more on the prosecutorial side. Now, I never want to see anybody locked up forever and thrown away the key.
Right.
But I do think we have to, you know, just accept the reality that some people, you know, need to be locked up. Some people, you know, need to be removed from society, and they need, you know, whatever it is that the correctional facilities are supposed to do in terms of when that person comes out, making them into a better person. So before you end up with a life sentence, maybe if you end up with a few years and you get that sort of corrective action training, whatever it is, vocational, you know, training or whatever, if you get that, maybe when you come back, you're not engaged in other things that are going to escalate your profile and your criminal background and record.
And also, I think when they do come out, part of the reason that the recidivism rate is so high is they go back to the communities where they were engaging in that behavior. So they're going, they're back around those same group of people, and they tend to just pick up where they left off.
Yeah,
then
just go right back to it.
Yeah, and if there aren't enough programs to help these individuals, I mean, the vocational schools are, or the vocational training are probably, is probably good within the prison system, but they need something when they come out, especially if they've been in prison for years. So now they're lagging in where we have grown, you know, with technology and things like that. So they really need something when they get out too.
Right. Okay.
Councilwoman Bass, do you think they should bring back night school?
Oh, absolutely.
Because I remember when I was younger, parents would go to school at night to get their GED or if it was a vocational school. I think I went to night school for something. I'm always going to school for something.
You know, we have to do more, offer more, give more, you know, provide more resources. So I think night school is something that really, in my opinion, never should have went away. Wherever we have an opportunity to give someone, the training, the GED, and a job opportunity, like, we need to do that. And right now, the thing that kills me is everybody's hiring. And so we need to make sure that we're, like who's matching and placing, you know, those who are looking with those who are employing. You know, what kind of job are we doing? I know the city of Philadelphia has the RISE program, but, you know, that's something that, as you know, I would say as a city official, that's something I think we need to look at to see how many placements have been done and what's the rate of placement versus the rate of folks who are returning citizens.
Right.
You know, are we doing 10% of those who are returning, 20%, 50%, 75%? You know, that's the kind of information that we need to be able to justify the funding that's going to them.
Can you explain what the RISE program is?
Sure, it's for reentry.
Okay.
So it's for those who are, my apologies, returning citizens, so that they have, you know, job training and job placement that goes with it.
Okay.
You know, for it's strictly for returning citizens.
Councilwoman Bass, we're going to have State Rep Parker join us.
State
Rep
Parker. My partner.
State Rep Parker, welcome to the Empowerment Zone.
Hey, good afternoon, everybody. I knew I was in great company when I heard my sister Bass was on live with y'all.
So good afternoon, State Rep Parker.
This show is brought to you
good
by...
Good afternoon, everybody.
It's brought to you by the Empowerment Zone. If you or your loved one need services, home care, 215-921.
It's brought to you by the Empowerment Zone.
But okay, my independence at home. I'm trying to clear that out so these young ladies, these powerful young ladies, can talk. The show is brought to you by My Independence at Home. If you and your loved one are in need of home care, 215-921-2277. Or if you're looking for a job as a caregiver, 215-921-2277. Now, State Rep Parker. And Councilman Bass, you guys just talk about voting?
Yes. Yes. And you, and this time of the year, I tell everybody, Rep. Parker, his voice is very raspy and hoarse because I've been yelling and screaming at the top of my lungs just to encourage everybody. And I say it, and I will make sure that you have it before November the 8th. Sometimes people hear that every election is important and this election is important. No, no, no. Every election is important. And we are definitely.
Yeah, you went out.
No crazy people on the other side of the aisle trying to take away our rights. It was shared on a platform I was on last night.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they've been hearing is they hear the Democrats blaming the Republicans. And they hear the Republicans blaming the Democrats. But the voters are saying they still don't know what's at stake. So for individuals like me, say everything. Your liberties are at risk by not voting. The rights we thought were guaranteed are not. And they're set in are at risk.
Up, your phone is...
One phrase. Can you hear me?
Yes, your phone is just going in and out.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, that's
technology.
Better.
Big Brother don't want me to give the truth. But what I'm trying to tell y'all is that it is at stake, and we've made it as simple for you to do it in your pajamas. So you don't even have to come outside to push the lever, even though myself and Councilmember Bass would love to see your faces and your smiles at the polling places. But we have early voting.
Mm-hmm.
So we're saying what right now and what is weeks away is detrimental for all of our lives. And not just her life, my life, our children's life, but the children coming behind us,
yes,
life, if we do not come out in higher numbers and vote. And that's pretty much where I can be. I even have bill numbers, but, you know, I can talk until the cows come home, but I must pass it back to my good sister, Councilmember Bass, from her head that she can talk about from a ward leader's perspective and say why we need to turn this pendulum back to not a negative, but a positive, because we know what's at stake, Philadelphians.
Mm-hmm.
We know what we need to do, and you shouldn't need somebody at the top of the ticket, meaning a president, and that's the only time that you vote. No, no, no,
yep,
no,
that's
no.
What I said.
Every 6 months, there is an election. Every 6 months, something is at stake. Every 6 months, you have to be informed about what's involved and what's at stake, and this year, we have our governor's race. We have our U.S. Senate race. Governor, Lieutenant Governor, U.S. Senate, Congress, our state reps. I think certain senators may be running, and that's pretty much it. And I'm making it and my plea to everybody to vote.
Can we go over the important dates, the early voting, all of that?
Sure. Absolutely, we can. I'm driving. I don't have those dates in front of me, but the next time we'll make sure y'all have it because I know the deadline for the last day to vote is fastly and quickly approaching.
Now, we have on the phone the unions. The unions are behind the Democrats getting the vote out. And we have Sheila Silvers on the line. Are any of you familiar with her? Okay, no, her phone is okay. She's off the line, but she's going to call. And she's the unions are
which union? I forget. Is she with?
It's not 1199C, but it's another union. They're going out and getting the vote out. You familiar with her?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah, she's calling back in now. Her phone is, but she's going to talk about how they're hiring people to work the polls. They're paying them, I think, $18 an hour now to work the polls. And that's important because before, I think, what you got like $9, $10, what?
I used to just volunteer.
Yes.
I never was paid.
I didn't care to get paid.
I just wanted to be involved.
I never worked the polls before. But we're going to get her. Welcome, Sheila, to the Empowerment Zone.
Thank you so much.
We have State Rep Park on the line, and we have City Councilwoman Cindy Bass on the line. Can you tell the audience of what you're doing and what your union is doing to get the vote out?
Most definitely. Well, my name is Sheila Silver, and I'm from Unite Here, Local 274. And Unite Here is a hospitality union. We're made up of the hotels, restaurants, and the casino. And right now we have a campaign that's going on. We are Philly Votes 2022, Workers to the Front. We have started in March with what we call the Mighty Eight. At the present, we are up to about 120 candidates and about to add on another 100 or more. We would like to get more with that with your help. We are going door to door with the ultimate goal of 750,000 doors to urge our people here in Philadelphia to vote, to empower them, to let them know what's at risk if we allow a Republican governor in, if we allow Mastriano to win, or if we allow Dr. Oz to get in, what's at stake? And there's a lot at stake.
Okay, and how can people get in touch with you? And is there a the people who are they volunteers or are they getting paid?
Oh, no, they are getting paid. They're getting paid $18 an hour, and we have 5 hours overtime, and there might even be more for that. With a paid hour lunch, we also give them an additional $60 in their pay to offset their lunch. So they will be able to contact us at Philly Votes. Well, they can email me or they can email several people. I sent it in, but I want them to know that they can call Salima, and she is one of our great coordinators that's working with us. Her name is Salima Pace. And they can contact her. I'm getting her phone number right now. Excuse me for not being prepared.
No, take your time.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the Empowerment Zone. I'm Reggie McGlone.
I'm Lisa Robinson.
And we're live here with Councilwoman Cindy Bass and State Rep Parker. We're talking about voting. We have Ms. Sheila Silvers on the line. She's getting the word out to vote. And Lisa, you want to say anything?
As I find that number, what I also wanted to say, what's important about getting the people out here to vote, we also, once they're done, we still want to empower our people here in Philadelphia. When they're finished, because the job is going to end approximately around November the 11th, we have a hospitality academy that the training is absolutely and 100% free. And after the training, they're guaranteed a union job. Because we know jobs make a difference in our community. Jobs make a difference in people's lives. So that is just one of the major things. They're given their uniform when they're done. They'll be able to work and be placed where they have benefits, where they have health care. Because that's one of the things that I'm hearing for the voters online is that they don't have the ability to aftercare programs for schools. They want fully funded schools. They want a decent job for which someone can have a fulfilling life. You just don't want to work paycheck to paycheck.
Right.
Or, you know, that's the difference. And that's what makes a difference. And that's why we want Fetterman in office. That's why we want Shapiro in office, because they understand and they are supportive of the union. So that is what makes one of the biggest difference in the world that is necessary for us to do.
Has the deadline passed for, or have we passed the deadline for registering to vote?
No, we have not passed that deadline. And also, we have not also passed the deadline for vote by mail, because we know here in Philadelphia that we win vote by mail from 3 to 2. So that's another thing that's really important, that we want to make sure that we can get our people to vote. So I want to say real quick, Salina is S-A-L-I-M-A. Her last name is Pace, P-A-C-E. And her phone number is 267-586-8272. And her email address is salima@phillyvotes2022.org.
Now, can you give that phone number one more time, please?
I sure can. 267-586-8272. And her email address is salima@phillyvotes2022.org.
And the name of the union?
Our union is Unite Youth 74.
I want to thank you very much, Sheila. Thank you for calling the Empowerment Zone. And of course, we're going to put the word out.
Thank you,
Reggie,
Sheila.
Thank you. But once again, let me say, Reggie, we thank you so much for empowering our people and our community. You are great and wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. State Rep Parker, you there?
I'm still here.
And Councilwoman Bass?
Yeah, I am here.
Okay. The mic is yours, both of you. Feel free to say what you want, or we could talk amongst each other.
I would want to say shout out to Sheila and Unite Here. They're always doing fantastic work. And, you know, listen, they got the troops. They hit the ground running. They're all about the people. And it's like, you know, just going back to what I was saying earlier about, you know, just having titles and, you know, like not affecting the people. If we're not doing something to really interrupt and disrupt what's happening when people are born in this country and in this city, into poverty, if we're not doing something about it, then we've got to find the people who are going to do something about it, because this is too important. We have the potential to affect too many lives. And so often, you know, there's some other sort of agenda going on. So I have a lot of respect for Unite Here and the work that they do, and shout out and kudos to Sheila and her team.
I'd like to ask both of you, what do you think, or have you ever gone to the schools, maybe the high schools, to look for volunteers to get involved in, you know, things that you're doing in your respective districts?
Oh, I love the fact that she said that, but, you know, I'd be remiss. I always got to give a shout out to the unions, because if it wasn't for a lot of the work that they're doing with boots on the ground for individuals like myself, they work all year round. So I just want to thank Unite, and thank you for people, and thanks for Sheila. Thank you for Salima Pace for just doing what you're doing. It's these days, people don't look at what you're doing. They're looking at the outcome, and the outcome that these women are doing, boots on the ground. We wouldn't be here if it wasn't for you. So thank you, and great shout out. And I'm glad you did mention schools, because I just wanted to highlight something that the representative just said. She said that these women, but you know, like, we've been out here on the ground for a very long time. You know, the women in the city really doing the grunt work and making these elections happen. So I just wanted to just recognize.
That's what we do.
And that's what, exactly, Lisa, that's what we do. So, sorry, Reggie, no offense, but you do good work too.
Thank you very much. No, in the beginning of the show, you weren't listening. I was talking about African American males and are not, they don't show up at polls at high rates. Women are working the polls and showing up and voting. African American males would have every excuse in the world. Why they're not voting? You know, why should I vote? They're not doing anything, or I'm tired, or whatever. It's a shame that we cannot get more males out to vote.
Well, I think they have to, and this is not just for the men, but as a whole, everybody really has to understand the repercussions of not getting these Democrats in the office. Because if you think it's bad now, it's going to be horrible.
Just think,
horrible.
If you get a Republican governor, they're going to ban abortions in the state. If you get a Republican senator, he's going to vote or do something that's going to disenfranchise people of color. So we got to get Shapiro in. We got to get, what's the other?
Fetterman.
In office.
Fetterman. Mm-hmm. Fetterman was just at
E9.
He was on CNN.
Yeah, it was
and
yesterday.
So was Pastor Waller. Yeah, they were on CNN. I said, look at Philadelphia.
That's that probably is only time we ever been in
E9. I said the same thing. That's okay. At least he's there. At least he was there.
Yeah, so, but we're gonna keep this radio show positive, Reggie, because what we can't afford to do is talk about the past. We gotta talk about the present.
You're absolutely right.
Talk about the present. We're gonna talk about this voter suppression inside Senate Bill 106 that we gotta make sure people vote on. We gotta talk about. You already talked about losing abortion access. You gotta also make sure we're talking about Senate Bill 573, talking about the so-called poll watchers. You got to also talk about price gouging. So I'm not going to focus on anything in the past that happened in the primary. We got to focus on what's going to happen in November. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad I got to give a shout out to my brother, Billy Miller, and who has this black male engagement that they're doing right now to get African-American males out and engaged to voting. It's a different initiative that he's working tirelessly for. So for me and other women, we know what women do. Mm-hmm. I don't speak up for men, but I do know during this election cycle, there are individuals that you may not know by first and last name that are doing something strategically to make sure that African-American men are engaged in the process. African-American men have a participation in the process that you also know, because we know what the women are going to do. And we always do things in abundantly, but I'm glad to see that his efforts and other men's efforts are coming forward to do what needs to be done. And I just had to share that sometimes as a people, Councilmember Bass and I always say, we get so much negativity on a daily basis that whether she gets emails or phone calls or whether I get phone calls, and it's sometimes it's overwhelming and it's draining on our mental health. We deal with shootings after shootings after shootings after violence. And I just think that there's times to give people like you, Reggie, your flowers now and talk about the work and that you're doing as far as being a black man and just talk about how dedicated you are to working with Lisa and her company as a black woman-owned business. Because what needs to happen is our young children, where Councilmember Bass and I were the other day, in these middle schools, our intentions have to be for our middle school children. You got some things that's happening in these middle schools that is very detrimental. And we got to make sure that we have individuals that we put in office in a few more weeks that's going to put more dollars into these schools, into these programs for our kids. Let's be real clear where my conversation is going. Why are you bringing it up? Because if you do not elect that D ticket of Shapiro, Davis, and Fetterman, then you can't be knocking on Rep. Parker for a grant money, because those funds are going to be gone. That's how real it is. Councilmember Bass and a former councilmember person, and somebody that's going to come to the 9th District, when they look at all the funds that we were able to secure between my colleagues in the Senate and in the House, this district is going to be extremely excited when they've seen that. But we got to keep this momentum going. And the only way we can keep that going is by voting the blue ticket in a few more weeks.
Now this question is for Councilwoman Bass and you, State Rep. Parker. Voter fraud. Is there a lot of fraud in voting?
No.
And how do you prevent that?
It's virtually non-existent. So I know that you've had this claim by Republicans, particularly around the 2020 presidential election. Donald Trump really asserted and put out there that the election was stolen. You know, and we have to be careful about these narratives. You know, they, you know, stop the steal. They're stealing the election. It's a big lie. You know, all these sorts of things. No, he's a big lie. You know, the idea that these elections weren't conducted in every court. I just heard today they were doing the January 6th hearing today, and I was listening to part of it. And one of the things I heard, and I don't remember if it was during the hearing or during one of the commentators who said that there were 61 separate lawsuits all brought by Republicans throughout the country around the November 2020 election. And out of the 61, I believe it was 60 of them were all shut down by a combination of both Democratic and Republican judges who said there was no merit to any of these cases. And there was one that was, I guess, somewhat of a victory, if you want to call it that, for the Republican Party, but was not consequential in any way, shape, or form. And that was by a Commonwealth Court judge here in Pennsylvania who actually ended up losing his seat, you know, probably because people saw that they didn't want this kind of politics on the bench here in Pennsylvania. So, you know, listen, the voters are paying attention. The voters know what's happening, and the judges are paying attention and know what's happening. And if there is no merit to the idea around voter fraud in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania or really anywhere else in this country because of the way that they've been handled by the courts, which basically said, you know, stop playing with our time.
I have a question about, I'm going back to what you call them, returning citizens. Are they able to vote?
Yes.
Okay, because I've heard.
So once you,
go ahead.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say, once you are outside of custody, mm-hmm. you are able to vote.
Well, there's this misnomer that you can't. I mean, that's what I'm hearing all the time. Oh, I have a conviction or I had a felony and I spent time in prison and I'm not able to vote.
Yeah, no, that's not accurate. Mm-hmm. You can vote. That was the case at one time. And actually, let me back up and correct my own self, mm-hmm. because I believe that if and I know you, were you having Commissioner Sabir on? I thought I had heard, but
I think
he's coming on.
He's not coming on. I don't believe he was supposed to. I don't think he can make it.
We had a call this week with Commissioner Sabir, who's doing a fantastic job, I have to say.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things he educated me on, which is why I referenced him, is that he made mention of the fact that those who are being held, so even if you're in custody but not, you know, you haven't been tried and sentenced, that you can still vote.
Okay.
You know, you can fill out. You know, you can apply right there at CFTF, you know, Riverside, wherever you may be, that they have the ability to vote as well, along with those who are returning citizens. So, yes, they can vote. We want to encourage them to vote.
Okay.
You know, please do not be intimidated mm-hmm. by any of this misinformation. And if you have any questions, we want you to call directly to the city commissioner's office. The office number is 215-686-1591, or you can get more information at vote.phila.gov.
Okay.
State Rep Parker, can you give out your contact information, please?
Absolutely, and I'm just so glad that our councilwoman gave that information, because I would be remiss why I said next month is important. Because you have the individual who currently is an African-American woman who sits over these elections. And that is from the state side, our Secretary of State. And that's what I'm looking at when we're talking about what's at stake and why these people on the other side are coming after our rights.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you're talking about voting, it's also one of the deciding factors happens to be in the state. And I tell people all the time, every election matters. The individuals that are like mine, like you, that are going to protect your rights and mm-hmm. are constantly fighting for your rights. As I say that, my telephone number is 215-848-6429. That's 215-848-6429. And I'm happy to be here with you. Next week, I'm going to try my best to get there in person.
Okay.
And we got to keep, because I want to make sure you have this handout that I'm giving as far as what's at stake, so people can see what I mean. And we also have a link. And it's on my website. If you go to our website, it's a nonpartisan handout.
Okay.
And it talks about what's at stake. And it's under publication. And it's the mm-hmm. first one that says what's at stake, so people can understand why I keep talking about these bill numbers, why I keep expressing we are one vote away. That's not mm-hmm. a joke. It's serious. And we all have to take this as a serious. Because right now, Councilmember and I are going to be fighting for our conscious democracy, fighting for women's rights, and letting people know we are not going to let anybody on the other side of the aisle dictate what's going to happen to our bodies, for mm-hmm. our rights, and anything. They're definitely going to have a fight.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Councilwoman Bass, can you give out your contact information?
Certainly. 215-686-3424 is our office contact. My email is Cindy, cindy.bass@phila.gov. Cindy, cindy.bass@phila.gov. Please feel free to reach me via email or call us on the phone. We've been in the office since, for quite some time now, a very long time. So we want you to feel free to come into our office. Mm-hmm. We're in City Hall, room 506, and we're also, we have a district office, which currently has been relocated. We had some plumbing problems, so we had to relocate temporarily just for the next couple of weeks. But we are located at Nicetown Court Apartments, which is 4100 Germantown Avenue. So you can reach us at either one of those places.
I have one last question for both of you, because this was an issue I had at the last election where they moved our polling place, but we weren't notified. So is the city required to let us know when the polling places have been moved? Because we were running around like crazy. I think we ended up going on a committee of 70 to try to figure out where it was. But there was a lot of us just really frustrated and worried that we wouldn't be able to vote.
So the city of Philadelphia often posts, like signage in the neighborhood. They post at the location. Well, they're supposed to, I'll say that. I know that there was some posting that was supposed to happen. I'll just say, as an example, at one of my polling places that didn't happen. So it's incumbent upon myself as the ward leader or council person to just make sure that people have the information. But again, that's a question really for the commissioner's office in terms of what is their legal requirement to inform voters about election on election day.
State Rep Parker, what is your district? What are the boundaries of your district?
I'm so glad that you asked that question. So as of November, after November 30th, my district has changed because of redistricting. So the area that I will be losing is Allegheny West, Swamp Poodle, East Falls, and Tioga. I'm picking up East and West Oak Lane and Alleyne area. And I'm keeping Germantown, Nicetown, and Logan. And I'm splitting the Germantown section with my colleague, Representative Kinsey. And all of that is due to the redistricting that occurs every 10 years when individuals have to fill out the census.
And Councilwoman Bass, what is your district boundaries?
I represent Chestnut Hill, Mount Airy, Germantown, Nicetown, Tioga, part of Alleyne, part of Logan, part of West Oak Lane, part of North Philadelphia, part of Feltonville, and I think that's everybody.
Now, State Rep Parker, we have a few minutes left before we close the show out. Can you give us your comments, or if there's anything that you want to talk about?
Absolutely. I just want to say thanks to you. I appreciate always being on the radio with African-American business owners. It's not easy, and I don't take it lightly. So anytime you ask me, it seems, I know sometimes I drive you crazy, but we're doing a lot of things, and you try to wear as many hats as possible. Look, listen, I just want people to be aware that what we're saying today is real. This is not a joke. We are intentionally making sure we educate people on a daily basis what's at stake, why your lives are at stake, why they're trying to talk about our bodies, your voting rights, everything you can possibly imagine that we fight for is at stake, and that's why we are made it as easy as possible for people to vote. Whether you leave your house or you do it at home, you must vote. And that's all we have to keep stressing. Mm-hmm. We have to talk about why, and we have to talk about how urgent it is. Is it an emergency? Yes. Yeah. Is it urgent? Yes. Is it dire? Yes. Mm-hmm. Is there lives on the line? Yes, and that means it's everybody who we talk about. And I'm sharing it with the 63,000 individuals that we represent in the 198th district, and this message can be received through our district and throughout. My message is not going to change why I want and encourage everybody to vote. If you're trying to reach us at 215-849-6426 or repparker@pahouse.net, please, during these times going forward, I can't receive anything political because it's the state. And I know some people get upset because it's political time and they think they can send it.
I just want you to know, if you do send it, I will be calling you back from my personal phone, just helping you out and pointing you in the right direction as it relates to these elections. But just trying to give people just some disclaimers, and we always have to be ethical when it comes to politics and what's right when it comes to getting out the vote. And I like to thank you, and it's always a pleasure working side by side with Council Member Bass. We're in this together, and we're definitely not going.
Well, they're telling us that we have 1 minute. Now, I thought we had 6 minutes, but they're telling us one minute. Councilwoman Bass, can you give out your contact information, and we'll definitely have you back next week with the state rep?
Sure. 215-686-3424. And, you know, it's always a pleasure to be with you all and my partner in all things good, State Representative Jerisha Parker. She's doing a fantastic job. And we go way back. I'm so proud of the work that she's doing, and I'm proud to be able to call her not just somebody who's a hard worker for her district, but a friend. Aww. I can't tell you enough how, you know, listen, like we take what we do very, very seriously. And it's all about the people for us. And if we're not serving the people, then this is something that we wouldn't be doing if it wasn't all about, you know, taking care of our community. So, you know, we don't want our communities to feel like they're out here alone. We're with you. And, you know, we're in a struggle right now. We're in a fight right now, but we're not giving up and we're not going away.
I want to thank you both for calling in.
Thank you guys for always supporting us. Yes. It means a lot.
And one thing I want to get into before the music come on, Councilwoman, Lisa wants to put a bench in over on the drive. So we're going to call it Honoring Veterans. Is that it, Lisa?
No.
Okay. What is it?
I have a friend. I've already talked to State Rep Parker, but I had a friend who was interested in getting a memorial bench for a family member who was killed. Okay. Kelly Drive.
We'll contact you. Again, thank you both for joining the Empowerment Zone. Ladies and gentlemen, as always, we're blessed by the best and destined for success. It's up to your music's coming on. There you go. We're blessed by the best and destined for success. It's up to us to do our best to make this world a better place for everyone. There's nothing to it but to do it. And once we do it,
ain't no stopping us now.
See you next week.
Thank you.
There's been so many things that's held us down, but now it looks like things are finally coming around.